We're going to be reading this morning from 1 Corinthians chapter 1. So you can go there if you'd like. The Apostle Paul wrote 13 or maybe 14 letters to the churches that he established in the first century that are recorded in the Bible. It's 14, I think, if you include Hebrews. And if you don't include Hebrews, it's 13, because Bible scholars aren't 100% sure if Paul wrote that letter. Some think he did, others don't. In these letters, he teaches them how to live and conduct themselves as a church and in their personal lives. And he teaches them doctrine and chastises them when they err or mess up in some way. He also praises them when they do well, and he encourages them in their faith and witness, and always tells them of his prayers on their behalf. And with that in mind, I'd like to read 1 Corinthians 1, 1 to 10, where it says, Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother, to the church of God which is at Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all who in every place call on the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given to you by Christ Jesus, that you were enriched in everything by him in all utterance and all knowledge. Even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come short in no gift, eagerly waiting for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will also confirm you to the end that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. In verse 1, Paul calls himself an apostle, which literally means a sent one. Jesus Christ personally called Saul, who was later called Paul, on the Damascus Road and sent him to preach the gospel to anyone who would listen. So he truly was a sent one, sent by Jesus. Then he mentions Sosthenes, who might be, some believe, the same Sosthenes, the Corinthian synagogue ruler mentioned in Acts chapter 18, verse 17. And may have been converted to the faith and was now helping Paul in his work. But we really don't know that. That is just, some have speculated on that. In verse 2, Paul says that he is writing to the church in Corinth, who are sanctified in Christ, called to be saints. Sanctified means to be set apart from to God from the world. In practical terms, this means that they should live holy lives. Lives that reflect their high calling in Christ Jesus. This doesn't mean they are perfect. In fact, they're far from it, as the letter will show later. But their sins are washed away by the blood of Jesus, and as such, they should endeavor to live godly lives by the power of the Holy Spirit. We too should take heed to Paul's words and also live like those who are sanctified. Paul says much the same thing if we turn to Philippians 1 and verses 3 to 6. This is also Paul writing, and in Philippians 1, 3 to 6, he says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making request for you all with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Let's read verse 3 of our text. There Paul says to the Corinthians, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul says this in many of his letters because grace and peace summarizes the gospel. Grace is the source of our salvation and the source of all blessings from God. It is because of grace and mercy, the grace and mercy of God, the Father, that salvation is available to anyone who wants it and asks for it in repentance. It is because of grace that we can have peace. And without God's grace, there can be no peace. And that's what Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 says. If you go to Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, it says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." The other thing we should notice in verse 3 is that Paul never shies away from mentioning God, the Father, along with Jesus Christ. By grouping them together, Paul is confirming them to be equal, the triune God, one God revealed to us in three forms: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Then in verses 4-8, Paul tells them of their gifts. In these verses, Paul is thanking God for the gifts given to the Corinthian church. In verse 5, he mentions utterance and knowledge. This church was particularly blessed in the gifts of tongues and their interpretation. And he tells them how to use these gifts in chapter 14. Utterance has to do with outward expression or speaking, and knowledge has to do with inward comprehension or understanding. And they were gifted with both. Our church has been blessed for a very long time with knowledge and utterance, not of tongues, but in the scriptures, through the godly men who have ministered here, and we continue to be blessed in that way. We need to continue to pray for Pastor Jeremy, Jack, Andrew, and all those that we get to speak here. I remember someone years ago, and I don't even know who this gentleman was. He wasn't from this church. He was talking to Pastor Arnold a few years ago, and he mentioned that our church was blessed greatly in the area of music. And I'll never forget Arnold's answer to him. He said, his reply was that every church that wants to honor God will be equipped by God for his purposes. All we have to do is answer God's call to service. Now, some churches may have more gifts in other areas, and some we're all diverse. Not every church sings like we do. You know, that's just the way it is. If we read verse 9 there, it says, "God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord." If we are willing to serve, God is faithful and will equip us. Let's read verse 10. "Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." He says this as a preamble to what he's going to chastise them for next, because one said he was following one guy and the other guy was following somebody else. Paul is pleading for unity. There wasn't a whole lot of unity in that church, and Paul recognized that as a big problem and a stumbling block for the gospel. We won't always agree on all things, but we must agree on the doctrines in God's word, such as salvation by grace, Jesus' death and resurrection, the Holy Spirit's work in us, and many others that we have to agree on. If we agree on doctrine, we are more likely to agree on the lesser matters as well. And the love of God, the love of God that he gives us through salvation has to be the driving force for all these things. If there is no love among us, then the Holy Spirit is not present and it will all fail. In these few verses of introduction, God gives us some good instruction for our lives and for how we should conduct ourselves in a church. And we would be wise to think of these things and pray about them. Let's read Ephesians 4, 1 to 6. Ephesians 4, 1 to 6. "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all.